Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody, you sports V's out there? It's the first Ask Ms. V Sports Show of 2016. Yes, I am alive. And that you hear in the background is my guy and co-host, the one and only, the very lovely and multi-talented Ms. V the Toilet Lady. And, of course, as you know, this is the quickest sports hour that you will hear of any sports show. You can call us 646-716-8041. Number hasn't changed, only the year. 646-716-8041 and press 1 if you want to talk to us. And like I said, the one and only, may I present to all of you out there at, you know, and Ask Ms. V Sports on V's at the Dark Radio Land, is the one and only, the real host of the show, Ms. V the Toilet Lady. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? We all know I'm having a few issues. I mean, what else?
From what I hear, this is continuing from last night.
Oh, my kids.
excuse me, yeah. So, I'd like to say before we continue, I'd like to thank Ms. Vita Tulli and all those people out there the other day, this past Sunday, wishing me a very happy birthday. And to be very specific, Ms. V actually a day early, whether she did that by mistake or not.
It was a mistake.
I was like, there's no way she's being this early. It had to be a boo-boo. But I appreciate the love. And thank you, Ms. V, and everybody out there that wished me a happy birthday out there, Facebook and on Twitter. I greatly appreciate it. I'm 43 now. Beginning the end. It's almost there. But I'm taking it one day at a time. I had a good birthday. Can't complain. My gift was that I was alive. That's why I don't take for granted. That's the best birthday gift, is that I live to be another year older. So that was my ultimate gift. And now we move on. It's 2016. A lot of things now start happening. You know, we have another year where last year at this time, Ms. V's team, the Lions, were in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know what happened there. And they got fucked over big time. But as for my team, for the fourth year in a row, not a surprise. And what did I say, Ms. V, months ago on this very show back in August? I said, it'd be lucky that the New York Giants would go 4-12. They went 6-10. Not too much difference, okay? Now, we all know what has happened since. No surprise, Tom Coughlin stepped down. Really got fired in my book. Yeah. Let's be honest. What the Giants did here, which is out of respect because, you know, Giants won 2 Super Bowls with this man. So they didn't want to just, you know, fire him on the spot like that. They gave him a nice press conference, let him go out his way on his own terms. And I saw the whole press conference. Yeah, I know. Him talking and very interesting things that he said. And as he got off the podium, when John Mara came on, there was a very interesting body language as Tom Coughlin passed John Mara. It was almost like, yeah, motherfucker, fuck you. Walked away. And these are the things that I don't understand. I don't understand. Here's the first thing. And this is not out of disrespect to Tom Coughlin. I respect Tom Coughlin. I appreciate what he's done. But let's be honest, a lot of decision-making that he's made, especially this year, was very questionable. Especially when it came down to the last couple of minutes of the game. I mean, it happened 5 freaking times, more than you can count. And, you know, it's time to go. You know, 12 seasons, hey, nothing lasts forever. And let's be honest, Jerry Reese, the GM of the Giants, why is he still there? That's one first one. Why is he not fired? Because let's keep it real. The last few years, with the exception of Odell Beckham Jr., he hasn't drafted anybody. especially defense. Our defense has sucked again. I said it. Why was this so surprising? And this is a team that has sucked in a shitty, probably one of the worst divisions in football this year. Still couldn't get it done. They still had a chance even the last few weeks. But I knew, like, I have a brain in my head, I knew they were going nowhere from the beginning. I told you this. It's on record. I'm not James come lately here. I said it. They go 4-12. I said it on this show. It's not a surprise. Another year of them not making the playoffs. A lot of it, personal moves, plays that weren't made and questionable decisions that, even a kindergarten could have probably made that made no sense. So throwing at certain times when you shouldn't throw, when it's towards the end of the game, instead of running the ball, running down the clock, using timeouts at certain times, all these other things. And another thing that made no sense is when John Mara got up there, he's talking about, what Tom Coughlin didn't mention is that, we offered Tom Coughlin like a special position in the organization. Now, time out. Now, why would you, if that's the case, nobody would fire him in the first place. Who the hell is that right mind? If I get fired, I don't care where you work at. If I get fired or whatever, right, and they tell me, well, we got this other position for you if you want it. Like, no, you let me go. Why would I fucking know? I got fried.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I would take it if they fired me.
Well, depending on the money.
Just fuck them over.
What's that?
To fuck them over and make them look at me.
Oh. Be devious like that. Huh? Just perfect. But anyway.
That's how I roll.
Hey, I'm 70 years old. I don't know what I'm doing.
Everybody might not roll the way I roll, but I
and you get paid to do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, why is right mind knowing that, it wasn't like Tom Coughlin got up and said, okay, it's time for me to go. He saw the writing on the wall. They sat down and said, listen, you have a choice. Either we fire you or you're going to make it look like you stepped down yourself, out of respect to you because of what you've done for the organization. And that's what happened. It's so obvious. They did the same thing to, I forgot the offensive coordinator they had last, a couple of years ago. They did the same thing to him. They gave him a choice. Either we fire you, because he was part of the two championship teams, or, you step down yourself. Either way, you're gone. So I respect that's what they did. All this, now they say, well, Jerry Reed, this is all on him. It's been on him. It's been on everybody. To me, I would have just said, look, thank you, Jerry Reed, but you're gone. And Tom Coughlin, thank you, but you're gone. It's a business. Nothing personal. But they only did it half right. And I just don't understand why you give Jerry Reese, who, let's be honest, his draft, besides, like I said, Odell Beckham Jr., his drafting has been horrible. No corners, no defense. I'm just saying, if you're going by his body of work recently, especially in the last 4 years, I'm sorry. I think even more on Jerry Reese than it is the head coach, because it's up to the GM to get the players for the head coach, and then it's up to the head coach to make sure those players do what they're supposed to do. So to me, he should be gone too. But I would think, because I just understand, now you're going to bring in another person, whether it's in-house or whatever. I would try to get Cowher. I would love to get him. He's already in New York anyway when he does the Inside the NFL thing and whatever that's called on Channel CBS over here in Channel 2. I would give Bill Cowher a call and say, hey, you want to come back? I wouldn't mind having him. You want a McAdoo, who is the offensive coordinator? You want him because Eli has flourished under his offense, even though he throws 10 million interceptions a game, it seems like. But he actually threw more touchdowns this year than he's had in his career, 35 touchdowns. Almost as much as interceptions. No, I'm just kidding. He threw, probably 117 interceptions, something like that. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting what's going to happen. But I wasn't surprised that Tom Coughlin let go. I was just a little surprised that Jerry Reese, unless he kissed a lot of ass, was his tape.
I got something to say.
Go ahead.
We have Lions news.
Yeah, so tell us. Let's hear the Lions news. I said my Giants news, so let's hear some Lions news.
Well, we don't know if Megatron is coming back. He is not playing again in the Pro Bowl. He was selected to play. He is not playing to give his knee time to continue to recover, but because, remember last year we had this conversation about restructuring and how what they were going to do to keep certain people, and, you know, thank God he did not restructure to keep fucking Sue. But he has to, if he stays at the line, he's going to have to restructure because they can't afford to pay him the $24 million. That's plain and simple. I mean, that's not a thought, a wish, or anything. It's fact. They cannot afford to pay him the $24 million. But the rumor is that he's contemplating retirement.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people are, I personally, we call it, you know, those of us who've been around long enough, that's Barry Sanders move if he retires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Barry Sanders, you know, when he saw that shit wasn't going to go a certain way, and I really, not trying to be funny, I don't think Calvin really wants to play anyplace else. And unlike Sue, who we know is just fucking Sue, you know, Calvin has some loyalty there. And he has roots here. You know, I'm going to say this. It's not a secret. Anybody who wants to find out, but I'm saying it's true, can look it up. Calvin Johnson's fiance works in the Lions front office. So, you know, I don't know what her position is, but if she works in the front office, I would think that it's not shit picker upper, okay? Therefore, when you look at his commitment to the community, and that's what I'm going to say, and it's not so much as the community itself, but I don't know I'm going to put this out here because I know people always tell me how I love my man and all this, and I do. I love Calvin Johnson. When it comes down to marriage and anybody who's even been in that situation, you know, this is his fiance. I don't know anything about her. I know she works in the Lions front office, but I don't know if she's a hometown girl. I don't know if she's a transplant. I really don't know anything about her to say, oh, well, she's not going to up and move or anything. I just can't, you know. So I think a lot will depend on that situation there, which those are things that the public is not, you know, the media is not going to talk about. Hey, you know, he's engaged to somebody in the front office because, you know, up until this year, most people didn't know who Stafford's fucking wife was until the bitch decided to go on Twitter and do dumb shit. You know, sometimes if you just keep your mouth shut, you're good.
Yeah, true.
And she's one who could have kept her fucking mouth shut and we would have all been happy. But, and on top of that, you know, nobody understood because people didn't realize that the tickets that she was trying to sell were tickets she had paid for, because they only get free tickets to home games, not away games. They have to pay for them tickets. So the dumbasses would have realized that the ticket she was trying to sell, she actually paid for.
Okay.
So, you know, not that I'm a fan of hers.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of her. I'm going to say, well, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan because I think that she should have took her pussy to the Bahamas or something for the season. I do.
Yeah,
I think that she gave him too much pussy. I've always stood by that. I stick by it, you know. And movie words, and, you know, me and you both have been married, so we know the honeymoon phase, you can't fuck enough. I'm sorry. When you're a newlywed, I don't care if you're 19, 30, 40, 50. For whatever reason, something about that fresh married pussy and dick, that first year, I don't care how old you are, you just can't get enough of it. It's like motherfucking damn Grand Slam breakfast every motherfucking day, 2, 4, 5, 6 times a day. And like I said, age has nothing to do with it. It's just something about that bliss. So I personally do not like her because I think she should have taken her newlywed pussy to the Bahamas or someplace or the Cayman Islands for fucking the damn season. I think he would have had a better season. I mean, he didn't have a horrible season when you look at the numbers, but he damn sure didn't have a great season. And I think that she would have taken her newlywed pussy away, he would have had a better one. That's my problem with her. And I know people say, really, I throw sex into it. I'm just throwing
that.
That's okay,
a
little bit of sex. Yeah.
Put a little bit of sex. Yeah.
But in the case of Calvin, I truly think that, you know, depending on his wife's background, and I mean, as far as if she has solid ties here to the community, you know, if this is where her family is from, this is, you know, if she's not a transplant, mm-hmm. it may be harder for her to leave. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, when you engage this man who makes that type of money, you just don't up and say, fuck it, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you got a decent job and she does work in the front office. So there's a possibility that she's making six figures herself. You know, she's not making $24 million like him, but six fucking figures is not bad money either.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, you have to look, are you going to give up your six-figure job in hopes that you could get a job someplace else or what the situation is? Because despite what people may think, women who are educated just don't give up their careers, not even for a pro player. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nothing, and for the ladies who, you know, did not have a job or whatever, I'm not knocking you. Let me get this clear. I'm just saying that if when you get with your man, you already have your career or whatever established,
mm-hmm.
it is a whole lot harder for you to say, fuck this job and walk away, because you have your 401k, you have all of this there, you know. You have the investments. You have, you know, you just have so much to lose when you walk away.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I think that'll have a lot to do with it. And, I mean, at the end, I think there may be some restructuring. But I think that even if it's restructured, that this will be, sorry to say, I think this, if he comes back, it will be his last season.
Mm.
Because he has been plagued with injuries. And there comes a point that, you know, he missed like half of last season. Mm. You know, and that's when we had that fucking Reggie Bush, who also was a waste of our goddamn money. You know. And I mean, thank God we've got Golden Tate. I love Golden Tate. I mean, I might have to become his, you know, I might have to make him my side piece or something. You know, I'm going to stick Golden Tate into this mixture somehow. But, you know, I do have my sights on a couple of other players. You know, I will always be a Megatron fan. You know, I tell people, I still have my Herman Moore jersey. I'm not the one who goes and buys everybody's jersey, so I'm very, very picky about numbers that I put on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the number 81, you know, I will always wear it. I hope that if he leaves, they retire his number and not give it to someone else, because that's the impact he's had. You know, nobody else wears number 20, and we all know that's Barry Sanders' number.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's some numbers that you just don't want anybody else's back.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that if and when he leaves, that number is retired, that no one else gets that.
I would think the Lions organization is, someone has half a brain to know that that's a future Hall of Famer. And regardless, you know, he's put great numbers for the Lions organization, so that's a no-brainer. I mean, 2 seconds, but, you know, as soon as he announces or whatever, whenever that day might come, should have his number retired on the spot. So that's a given to me. So, by the way,
like I said, I'm talking about old Herman Moore jersey, so I'm loving it.
Now, let me ask you this. I noticed that they kind of finished strong towards the end, like a little too late. Do you see that's because there was, you know, that's like garbage time, as Marv Albert would say, and you think that was nothing about it? Or do you see them just turning around too little too late?
I think that that's Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Bob is why we did the turnaround. Remember, in the middle of the season, we fired our GM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they cleaned upstairs out.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who were making the fucked-ass decisions were gone. You had two people. They got rid of two people back-to-back, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we got Billy Bob, who is our defensive coordinator. And for anybody who's listening, yeah, his name really is Billy Bob. That's why, you know, we just...
It sounds like... You know, I think it's like Sling Blade or something.
It really is Billy Bob, but, you know, I'm going to give kudos to the man, because he really, you know, when you saw the when you saw Martha Ford clean fucking house at the top, the motherfuckers at the bottom started working, but Billy Bob was brought over, and Billy Bob is a big part of that change. You know, you still got to have a good coach behind that, but our defense is what carried us, and Billy Bob did that. So I think, personally, I don't see, you know, people, a lot of people here are yelling, fire Caldwell. That's not going to happen. Martha Ford loves Caldwell. And we got to remember, his first season, he came in winning. He did something that a lot of, I mean, shit, before last year, when was the last time we was in the fucking playoffs?
Well, last year.
It ain't, you know, it ain't like it's something that we see all the time.
No.
We did not make it this year, but, you know, we can't have it all the time, but we still finished strong. You know, we did not go 0-16. Therefore, anytime we don't go 0-16, we're having a damn good season anyway. But the fact that, you know, we lost a couple of really fucked up games, that fucking damn Green Bay game still eats my motherfucking craw, you know, because there was not a fucking face mask. It never should have been a Hail Mary to be thrown because that wasn't a fucking face mask in the first place.
And, of course,
so,
you witnessed that live and in person of all the games
to
be live and in person. That'd be
that game. Had a day, that game really for me to be right there. So we know how I really feel about that. Because I'm like, oh, fucking no. I had no voice. I could not function. When I say that, anybody who knows me, it takes a lot to take me out of commission. It took me out of motherfucking commission. It took me 2 days to get my voice back. So I was not happy.
That was basically the final nail in the coffin of their season after that game, correct? That was it after that, right?
That was it. We were out of the playoffs at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But we finished strong. But the fact that we did finish on a winning note is always a positive because a lot of teams, and let's get this clear because I know somebody's going to say, Missy, why don't you know? I'm going to tell you why I don't know when nobody else is going because once the fucking everybody who knows me, once Detroit teams finish doing what the hell they're doing, I don't see shit else. You know, and I've always said that. I don't know what the fuck nobody else is doing unless they're playing fucking Detroit. Once Detroit is not playing, I can't tell you what nobody else fucking did, okay? I put it like this. Even when I was Periscoping, I had the fucking game on. I still can't tell you when that goddamn game, okay? I'm serious. I walked away from it. So when I say that I really don't know what anybody else is doing, I'm really not following anything. I mean, the only other person who I would remotely care about, and I know people are going to hate me for saying this, is Mike Vick. You know, and I don't even know what he's playing. Who is he playing for this year?
He was on the Steelers, but he hasn't. You don't even play no more with the Steelers. I don't know if he's still on the team, to be honest with you. But
okay,
he was on the Steelers.
Yeah, let's keep this real. Mike Vick is the only other person I would be cheering for, and that's only because he is the true comeback kid, and I will always cheer for him regardless because he has done what nobody else has done, and I don't give a shit what nobody else did. The man fucking went to prison. He did his time. He paid the price. Fuck, he worked in goddamn construction before he came back to the damn NFL, so get the fuck up.
And he paid back money. And he paid back money.
And he's still doing community service. So, again, get the fuck up off of it. So, again, Mike Vick is the only other person I would be following because he is the true epitome of the comeback kid, you know. He, unlike everybody else, I'm not knocking Adrian Peterson or anybody else who have just been fine and suspended for games, but this motherfucker was literally kicked out of the goddamn NFL, okay?
Yeah,
he was the person that got kicked out of the motherfucking NFL. He had to come back and apply for his job, not with a fucking piece of paper, but had to fucking come on like as a damn walk-on.
Yeah.
And that was after doing construction for a motherfucking year. So, therefore, who else my stick? If you ever need a side piece, I'm the one.
Now, I would think that, I mean, I don't know how old Mike Vick is. I would think he's near, like, what? He has to be late 30s now, right? Or mid to late 30s, Mike Vick?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know his contract, but I don't know who your backup quarterback is, but would you consider, you know, not a major move, but would you want him for next season as your backup in case you happen?
Oh, he could take Stafford's place. I mean, shit.
So you saying with him, you started quarterback, he was a little too inconsistent this year? Or this is something that's been going on quite a while with the inconsistency?
I'm just not a Stafford fan. I'm not a Stafford fan.
You don't feel confident when you see, you know, like you don't know what you're going to get out of him week by week, correct?
No, I haven't hopped on the bandwagon yet.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
I like our backup quarterback on this year a whole lot better. But, you know,
okay.
I think he got fucked last year when Stafford was off in them two or three games. And then they fucking, instead of letting him play this goddamn season, they fucking bring Stafford back. And I really, truly have a problem with that. I think that the person who carried us as far as they did should have been allowed to fucking finish the goddamn job. And instead, Stafford gets the motherfucking kudos because he's the fucking starter and now he's ready to come back. Bitch, I would have made him work for his motherfucking job, okay? Because our goddamn our backup quarterback worked. Why do you think he's still here this year? He's not still here because he just came in and did some shit. He's still here because that motherfucker carried us when fucking Stafford was out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker showed that he wanted his goddamn job.
Yeah.
And then they bring fucking Stafford back. You know, I have a problem with that. I'm going to keep it real. I have a problem with that. I think that they should have made Stafford best his ass position back. Because our backup quarterback came in and did what backup quarterbacks are supposed to. He fucking carried us, so we didn't fucking miss a damn lick. As a matter of fact, we say it better. We're out fucking Stafford. I'm sorry. I'm glad we got rid of fucking Bush because he didn't do shit. That was a waste of goddamn money.
So now that we go into the offseason, and believe it or not, the Lions have what? Now, who would have thought when we made predictions? Well, you don't make predictions. I made predictions. When it came to the Lions, I thought they were going to go, you know, I thought they had a chance to even go to the conference championship. I didn't say that, but who would have thought one more win than the Giants?
No, what did I say about the Lions?
You said, I try to remember, but I know you weren't, like, you didn't want to put it out there because you don't like to predict. I try to remember what you said. But didn't you say, like, you didn't feel like they were going to do much this year anyway?
I didn't see them going to the fucking playoffs, and they didn't go. I made that clear.
Well,
I did not see a repeat.
Mm.
You know, and it's not that I don't love my Lions. I mean, for anybody who knows me, I love my Lions, but, consistency is not what we're known for, okay?
That's not a word in their vocabulary in the Lions history. Consistency. Winning. Another word.
You know, consistency is not something, you know, there are some things that I can count on. I can count on the Lions not being consistent. Once they become consistent, I might have a heart attack. I love my Lions, but if we get two winning seasons in a row, I might actually go buy season tickets.
That's saying a lot. Nah,
you know,
I can't even remember last. That's something to look up. When was the last time they had two back-to-back winning seasons? They got to be during Barry Sanders' time. Got to be. Maybe.
But I'm just saying. So, I love my Lions. I love my Red Wings. I love my Tigers. And I'm actually starting to like my motherfucking Pistons again.
Look at that. Wow. It's got that bad it made you even focus on the Pistons a little more, huh?
Well, there's a young man. His name is Brandon. Don't ask me his last name. His name is Brandon. And when they talk about the Pistons, they're talking about that they got so much fucking talent, they might have to get rid of somebody. They got too much. I mean, they're like got so much fucking fabulous talent. They don't know what to do with it.
Gotcha.
You know, and from what I'm hearing, they got a pretty decent season. I mean, I haven't watched them. I'm not going to sit here and stop and watch them because, you know, the last time I actually watched the Pistons was when they were winning, when we had Rasheed Wallace. Well, we had the two Wallaces.
Yeah.
Rasheed and
Ben Wallace
on there. And you know, when we
and
had
they beat the Lakers, that year in the finals.
Yeah, you know, the Pistons, I love my Pistons. You know, anybody who knows me, I'm a true Bad Boys fan. So I am that person that most people probably don't like because I'm going to always talk about the back-to-back seasons because that's when we were truly winning team. And remember, I still have questions about this new owner. I'm not still on the new owner yet. You know, I'm sorry, but Mr. Davidson passed away, and I'm just not doing the people. You know, I'm going to have to keep it real, you know, that since Bill Davidson passed away, even though we've got a new owner, I don't think he has the passion. I really wanted Mike Ilitch or the Ford family to buy the Pistons because those two families have the passion. And I'm sorry, I don't think this, you know, Mark Cuban had, you know, but I would have been happy if Mark, I know he can't own two different teams, but I would have been okay with Mark Cuban buying them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a motherfucking passion.
Yeah, say what you want about Mark Cuban. Well, say what you want about Mark Cuban, but he really cares about wanting to win. That's one thing about Mark Cuban. He wants to win.
And again, for you motherfuckers, again, see, I know my damn owner. So y'all notice I reference a real owner, not some make-believe one.
Yeah, you know
your owner. What's his name, you know, or just the love of my life, you know. No, I mean.
Sterling.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would like to have a passionate owner. And like I said, if Mark Cuban could more than one team, I would have preferred he bought the Pistons because that motherfucker get out of the damn court with his damn, you know what, fuck this shit that I make a billion goddamn dollars just by sneezing. You motherfuckers gonna play. And I'm gonna come down here and talk about you with my damn jeans and my t-shirt on.
Yeah, well, damn,
so,
damn, you put all that money into it, hell yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, you know, I haven't seen this fucking damn Gorse or whoever the fuck owned the Pistons. I mean, not that I've been watching games, so let's keep it real, but you know, I haven't heard about him being hands-on like Bill Davidson was. I mean, Martha Ford really isn't seen, but everybody know who the fuck she is because the whole goddamn world know who Martha Ford is now, don't they? But she said, I made that decision. And her son came out and said, no, my mom made that decision. You motherfuckers thought I was running this shit. Mom is the one doing that. You know, she let the whole world know at 94 years old, you motherfuckers don't realize I run this shit. And I was actually just, they did a documentary on PBS the other day about the Ford family and the different things. And did you know that the Fords used to own land down in Brazil?
No, hell no. Really?
And they sold it back to the country after Henry Ford passed away. I have to tell you about it, but it was actually really interesting. And I wish, and the damn thing comes on the fucking damn 4:30 in the morning, so next year I had to leave and go to fucking work.
Yeah.
I mean, this
Why
is like
do
a
that
real
shit?
Fucking. I mean, if I would have known, I would have really watched that shit because I was like, fuck, and I got to go to work.
I was really
getting into some nitty-gritty shit. That was good, too.
Let's say this very briefly, and we're getting back to sports real quick. I'm like, I love documentaries. I love shit like that. I've learned more from documentaries than I did in all of my years in school. I prefer that because it's real shit, and, you know, it's the way it's done. You know, depending who does it, like a Ken Burns or whoever, but as long as it's done right, oh my God, it's awesome. Here's my thing with PBS, and you hit it right on the head. Good shit like that. Okay, could you put that in a reasonable time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know? Why is always 11:30 or midnight or, you know, 2:30 in the morning? People got to go to work.
I was like, damn, this shit, I had to go to the gym. Naturally, they're not playing PBS at the motherfucking gym. You know, I got fucking CNN, Fox, all this shit up on the damn TVs at the gym.
Yeah,
so,
when it comes to something like that, you don't be on the you know, doing your workouts as you watch something like that. That's something you have to pay attention to.
I put up because, see, we have like 6 TVs to go at one time in our gym. We only have volume on one, you know.
Okay.
And, but we, like, that's why I wear an MP3 player, because I have an FM tuner. So each one of the TVs has the FM radio station that it's linked into. If they would have had PBS on, I would have switched from my music over to my FM tuner on my MP3 player, and I would have been listening to that bitch, okay? While I was watching on the goddamn treadmill, because that shit was interesting.
Yeah, I love documentary. It is real. It could be, as long as it's interesting, like stuff like that when it comes to like the Ford family, you know, something like that, something that have made impact in our society, you know, some things like that when it comes to Civil War, you know, stuff like that, you know, World War II, like stuff that very interesting that you didn't get all of in school unless you really read about it, you know, on your own free time. And I love that stuff because I prefer to be told than to for me to read all that shit. I have no patience. I like pictures and I like someone talking to tell me.
And like I said, it was really good. So let's get that short sports there. I had to put that in there, you know. So
yeah.
The Forbes is a motherfucker. So I had to tell you that shit was good. If that documentary ever come on again, I didn't know the shit they did. They did some shit. Okay.
I gotta look that up. I gotta check that out after the show. I gotta look that up. I wanna check that out.
Harry Ford was a motherfucker. Oh, all I can say is that I was like, ooh, I didn't know that. This motherfucker was he wasn't a motherfucker in a good way either. Oh, this motherfucker did some shit. That's why, and like you said, documentaries cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they covered everything.
That's what I love about it, yeah.
But again, you know, like the Red Wings are doing pretty good. We all know that I have not been to a Red Wings game, and the reason being is because I was at the Lions game the night that I was supposed to be at the Red Wings game, so that's back in the both games.
Mm-hmm.
So, not at the Red Wings game, but, I'm still loving my Red Wings, you know.
How did they do? What's their record
score?
Okay. I don't think
I'm going to make it to a game this season.
Understand.
Only because my schedule is crazy, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say you're busy, especially this month.
We're on Countdown to AVN.
Mm-hmm.
Once I figure out my work schedule, because my work, thank God I know that, as I say, these are the things that I know. I know that I will still be working my day through Friday. I know I'll still be working in the daytime. What I don't know is if I'm going to be traveling a lot. You know, last year was completely off guard where I wasn't traveling, and then all of a sudden we know for the second half of the year,
okay,
I was gone.
Yeah, you were gone to a point where, you know, you got severely sick as you at one time, like, God. That was crazy. We still did a show.
You know, but, you know, these after dark has a lot of stuff that I have to put my foot into, so I'm actually going to see if I can curtail the traveling, because we've got some big things that have to happen this year, and I haven't even begun to do them. We have an announcement that we have to make in June. So I've got 6 months to get this everything together for this big announcement that's going to be made. So it's like my hope is that with everything else that I can get the time to do it, because I found out that I might have been averted barely only because of AVM was Miami for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So plus it was too short of a notice because they were like, I can't even volunteer to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been 4 months away from my home base. But I have to do to take my dogs with me.
Yeah.
So. But I got to give a big shout out to two people.
Okay. Besides
one
me,
to
go
Sierra,
ahead.
One to Sierra because I got my damn candy, and she said she missed the Periscope. She did not know that I had Periscope when I got my candy and my fudge and everything.
Yeah, so you got your fudge, and did you get anything else besides fudge?
I got cookies.
Wasn't that good?
Oh, my God.
Do extra reps when you get the next morning?
I think I might have one cookie left, and I'm like savoring that bitch. I might have one piece of fudge left. I've been really, really selfish with this, okay?
Yeah, it was really good, right? I'm that good.
So
I thought it was delicious.
Big shout out to Sierra.
Yes,
oh, my
absolutely.
God. Oh, my God.
Up,
I'm going to have to go break into our house. But then big shout out to my girl, Naomi.
Yay.
Anybody who saw my tweet,
yes.
I got part of my makeup. It was
nice. Actually
kind of funny. Naomi, I'm putting you on blast for this one. Because we talked on the phone the other day.
Cool.
And remember, anyone who knows me knows that I didn't tell her that I was ordering any makeup. I didn't tell her I was ordering anything. So I call, and she didn't answer the phone. So she calls me back day before yesterday or something.
Uh-huh.
She tells me it took me calling her last week for her to realize that was me who ordered the makeup. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Really?
Mm. And this tells you we know each other's real names, but
yeah.
She just did not put two and two together.
Wow.
I said, are you fucking kidding me? And she said, until you called, I did not think about it being you.
That's hilarious. So
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, considering I'm supporting my girl.
Yes, okay. Is it because she's been really busy and other things going on, or she just totally just said, fuck this bitch?
No, actually, when she told me, she said she kept looking at it and she was trying to figure out who, and she did not recognize the name.
Wow. Now, let's be honest. Did you feel like a certain what type of way? Like, I didn't even know that was me. I mean, you forget.
You know what? Like, I know her real name, and she knows my real name, but I think because my real name is not a common name.
True.
And it's not one of those things where you say, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I don't run around talking about my real name.
No.
And even when people, even my friends, you know, and I'm talking about my friends who know my name, call me B. So a little strange one.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, you know, if you don't see my name, because for me, unlike a lot of people in the industry, I'm one of those people who, even outside of the industry, I'm still called B. So it's one of those things where it catches people off guard, because when they see my name, oh, yeah, that is her name. Because, like I said, my bestie. As a matter of fact, most of my friends call me Miss Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And my are the ones who gave me my name. So
It's
been easy to carry my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why when other people, you know, when they separate the industry from home life, it's so easy because it's just such a big difference. But, you know, hell, my other half, yo, what's up, Lee? What's up, baby? You know, every now and then he'll say my damn legal name, and I'll be like, the fuck? <You know? laughs>
What was that for?
Yeah. You know, I'll be like, what the hell went on? You know, because that's just it. Very few people call me by my legal name.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, really, really unusual. I think for her, it was just a caught off guard.
Yeah. I mean, I've still every now and then, because even though I've been busy, I still have thought about that day when she, you know, when I finally cashed in on that winning date with Naomi. It was just so awesome. And, you know, just hanging out with her. And we lucked out with the weather. It was a warm, you know, December type of New York night. And it was just cool. And I'm just hoping everything for the best for her, you know, with the
cosmetic. And she's been going through a lot. I'm not going to put her business out there.
Yeah, I know.
But she has had a lot going on.
Yes,
and
yes.
Still has a lot going on. I mean, I don't even know. Is Chocolate Radio back on yet?
That is a negative. And, yes, as friends of hers, you know, we keep that private. And,
there's a lot of craziness going on right now. But that's why I said, you know, and I know everybody's like, did she just really ask this? We both have radio stations. I mean, hell. She takes out hiatus better than I do. She is a whole lot better of walking away, taking care of business than I am. You know, and I'm not mad at her. I have a very hard time walking away from the radio station to take care of my business, and we all know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
To a point where it comes to your health. Shit. Even your health is on the line. I must do a show. Like, are you crazy?
It's okay. One day. Damn.
Yeah, you told her. Yeah, forget about it. Yeah. Which, in a way, I admire it a lot. I do admire you a lot with that. But it comes to a point where, okay, you know, this is not good. You know, it's just, you know, we barely hear you like that one time last year when that great road trip, business trip you had to take and basically almost, you know, thank God you still hear us.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, that's documented, ladies and gentlemen. You could check that out anytime.
So for us to take 2 weeks off, I mean, how did you feel having 2 weeks off and no show, not no, oh, well, we're coming back on because I got this to do or whatever.
I was like, okay. I felt both sides. I was like, okay, I can't wait to come back on. But there was another part of me that was like, you know, I kind of like the free time. but I did miss you. And of course miss doing my show, which I get back on doing it starting tomorrow. And actually what I love about real quickly, what I'm doing tomorrow, I'm going in a whole new different venue. I'm not on Blog Talk no more. I'm gonna be on Mixlr. I have my own USB mic. So it's gonna sound, I did a little testy. Remember I kinda did this with the meeting we had where you heard me through the mic, and I sounded very professional, right? It sounded nice and clear, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. It's going to be cool. And, you know, this is what I always wanted to do. I'm still, I've been pushing like crazy, trying to get my foot in the door where it comes to at least, whether it's board hopping or, luckily enough, you know, host somewhere over the airwaves at an actual radio station. I'm really pushing it real hard since what I've been going through the past month, you know, with my part-time job. You know, I'm not guarding the dead no more. And it's like, okay, this is a good sign to, okay, you know, push what you got to do. And that's what I've been doing. Everything I've seen around this country, I've applied. Chattanooga, you know, even Michigan, even where around your way, I said, oh, that'd be good. Let me have a room, and, you know, if I have to work out there temporarily until I get my own place. If I get something out there, you know, that'd be awesome. I'm really trying to Los Angeles. I'm serious. I've been putting out a lot of stuff on Sirius.
You know, and then everybody keeps asking me because we all know my other half is in the music industry, and he's the... Was it program directors? They have a radio station. Is that what they call them? But the station is that they actually have a hip hop station. They have they have an R&B station, a jazz station, and I think they're getting ready to start a gospel station. So you know, he's like always crazy, and I'm just a chick on the side, okay. And I was like, no, I'm not the side chick. You know, I'm just a chick on the side.
Yeah, let's make that clear. That's not what she means, exactly. But, your boy is really trying. You know I try. I do the best I can. And when I have
see, there's going to be some transitions because you're going to be transitioning, and then Chocolate Radio, we can't say anything, but we know they're doing a big transition. They'll make their own announcement, but they're making a transition.
Yes.
And it's not a bad one, but it's just something we know about happening.
Yeah.
But I got to give we were talking about A Kiss Cosmetics. Only part of my order came, but she told me only part of what was coming. But I was like, and I'm about to tell her to listen to this show because then she'll cuss me out. But part of it is this is not a secret. I'm doing a photo shoot when I go to Vegas in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
One of the things that will be given credit in my photo shoot will be my makeup, because even though I pay for it, my makeup will be done properly. And Kiss Cosmetics will be given credit for that.
Right.
And I ordered the makeup for that reason. because I'm going to be doing my photo shoot. What I'm pissed about is that I've gained almost 10 pounds. So I'm fucking not happy.
The holidays kicked your ass. Too much the eating and stuff. How was your Christmas and stuff? I didn't forget. How was your Christmas and New Year's? Did everything go okay? If you don't mind me asking?
New Year's, I'm still contemplating punching somebody about. Christmas went very well.
Okay.
We talked about it on Middle of That Bitch last night.
Oh, okay. I didn't get to hear it.
But I'll give you the short part of it real quick.
Go ahead.
We all know me and you are brother and sisters, veterans, and we all know that quartermaster of the VFW, and my daughter comes there with her boyfriend, who is a veteran also.
Okay.
And this is on New Year's Eve, and I introduced my daughter and her boyfriend, and this bitch asked me in front of a group of people, how did I feel about my daughter dating a white boy?
The hell?
And said, and this is what she said, not that I have a problem with it, but I was just wondering. That shit come out your mouth. You don't even know me.
Well, obviously you have a problem, not you per se, but that person who said that actually had some issue with it. Why would you say that?
Thank you. So I'm blaming it on the alcohol of that person because that's why I didn't punch them. But it just caught me so off guard because I was like, well, this is just my daughter and her boyfriend's name. I said, I didn't know that I was supposed to announce and her white boyfriend, you know.
Happy New Year's Eve. And by the way, my daughter's dating a white guy. All right, Happy New Year.
Oh.
And who was this again? One of your relatives? Some shit?
No, it was a white woman. No, it was a white woman at the VFW.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I see your true color
shining through.
I see your true colors, and that's why I hate you.
I hate
you. Don't be afraid. Show. Don't blame it on the alcohol. The biggest true serum of all history of mankind. I've always believed alcohol brings down the walls of the true person that person is, whether they're reserved or whatever. It shows the true person. And to me,
well, all I could say is that I did not punch her.
Good for you. Hey, the old Miss.
But I wanted to punch her.
I don't blame
you.
Because I read between the lines what she said. I come on. I'm just saying, that's kind of fucked up. And I, you try, okay, look, I'm older, it's New Year's Eve in front of people, don't want to get all, but that shit was just private,
And I was working, so for anybody who wants to know, I wasn't drinking that night. Not that it matters, but I had to work because I was actually the backup bartender. Therefore, being the backup bartender, I had to be sober. So I had my laptop with me, and, even though the bartender we had on duty had to handle the cash, but if it would have gotten too busy where she couldn't handle that, I would have been back there fixing drinks also. So I had to be sober, and that didn't bother me because we had food and everything, and I'm going to be sober when the New Year comes in anyway. That's the one night of the year I really don't drink that much because I'm normally at home in the bed, so...
Yeah, it sounds depressing when you say it like that.
Well, my other half is, my other half is always working. So and because he's never in town for the new year. And at first I used to get mad about it, but I mean, shit, that's money. And
this
the question was asked if spouses were going to be allowed to go, and it was made clear no, that we were not going to be allowed to go. Therefore, another New Year's Eve at home. They tried to get back on New Year's Day. They couldn't make arrangements to get back. I wasn't upset about it. So I told, for me, where I used to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Now it's like, okay, I plan my New Year accordingly. And planning my New Year accordingly means keeping my happy ass at home and being glad I no longer live in Detroit where all they do is fucking shoot. That's what
happened
in my New Year.
Yeah, that's what you hear ringing in the New Year. It's not fireworks or bells ringing. It's bullets flying.
So,
depending where you at. Yes. And I totally
know. It was highly unusual for me to be out, and I didn't get into 3:30 that morning because we had to clean the bar afterwards.
Gotcha.
So it was really, it was nice, though, because I had not brought in the new year with people in over 12, 13 years. I had always brought in by myself at home. So it was nice to do it that way. Working is a whole lot different because, you know, we're trying to get champagne together for midnight. You know, it was a little taxing because, you know, you're watching the clock and you're popping bottles and you're trying to get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a matter of, and that was my first year working. So it was really, really, you know, like, okay, I'm looking at the clock and I'm popping bottles. I'm trying to get glasses ready and we're trying to get people served. And, you know, it was just this whole thing. And then we're trying to do the countdown, right? So we're switching the TVs and the bar over, you know, because we're real people. We're going to follow fucking New York with theirs. We're going to celebrate in New York. So we, you know, as they're doing the countdown, we're, you know, when we hit that 10-second mark, we're making sure that everybody got champagne in their hands. So it was just one of those things where I needed a day off from that day.
Yeah, that's what New Year's Day is for.
It was just so taxing.
Yep.
No, I needed an additional day off.
Oh.
Because, you know, other people were... But what I'm saying, you know how other people were recovering from hangovers and stuff?
Yeah.
I actually was trying to get rest. So, I mean, literally when I tell you, I didn't have a drink until the bar closed at 2 o'clock. We got the last out of there at 2:30. We got out of there somewhere after 3. I think I had already paid for some drinks. So once people left, I think I had 2 or 3 drinks.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, you know, chilling and having a drink.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have a drink until New Year's Day, believe it or not. That's when I popped up and I had the little champagne at home, and I did that on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have the New Year's Day traditions, and we could talk about this real quick. I know we're talking about sports, but everybody has their own New Year's Day traditions. I'm going to tell you what the culture, what our tradition is. Before midnight, we take 10 dimes, and they have to be dimes. We paint the face of the dimes red, and we put them under our front door. And after midnight, we take the dimes. Anytime after midnight is good, you take the dimes from under the front door, and you put them in your pocket, and you carry those dimes with you all year, and that's to continue to have money flowing in all year.
Yep.
The other thing we do is we black eyed peas, collard greens, and cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
That's green is for your paper money, your peas is for your change, and the cornbread is just to go with it. But have to eat that for New Year's. Have to eat that on New Year's Day. Have to eat black-eyed peas, cornbread, and collard greens.
Hey, whatever works. If it works, it still works. Like it.
And I've always been prosperous, you know. So I always I'm always interested to hear what other people's, you know, traditions are that they do on New Year's Day because everybody has something that they do that it has to be done, you know, in order for their year to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know my girlfriend, 2014, she broke her tradition, and she made it a point to make sure she brought back her tradition because her and her husband, since before they got married, when they started dating, they spent every New Year's Eve at church, and in 2014, they did not go to church. On New Year's Eve, and she said 2015 was a fucked up year for her. So she made it a point not to go to church once, but twice on New Year's Eve.
Wow. Just in case.
And she said they were still home before midnight. And she said she was like, oh, hell no. She's like, I got that. And that fucked up 2015. She was just doing it again.
And also, you do this regardless. You did the horseshoe thing. That's just something you do when you move into a new house, correct?
Right.
You know, the horseshoe, yeah. I remember you do the horseshoe.
The horseshoe is there for the new home, and that stays up year-round. That doesn't come down.
Yeah. But I remember you talking about the dime thing last year. It refreshed my memory when you brought that up. I said, yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's right. You did say that. Yeah. Yeah, me, I just drink. Especially like 3 years. I'm at my best friend's house. With his three wonderful kids. You know, he had a newborn this year. who's now 8 months old already, which I can't believe. And I'm like, I'll go to his kids, you know, it's intimate family and stuff, hang out. I got a little nice, which that's how I like to be. See, I don't want to get, like, totally, you know, shit-faced. I like to get nice. And I got real nice. When that ball dropped, which, by the way, actual Times Square, but we saw some shit. It was with Pitbull. I don't know where the fuck this was. It was, like, in Miami or some shit.
That
this man
was always in Miami. Oh, I love Pitbull's Rockin' E. That motherfucker brings in New Year's Eve good, okay? I mean, Pitbull does it right. I mean, I would love to be at one of his parties. That motherfucker does it every year in Miami.
Oh, my God. He had this, we all know why he has these bad bitches. Like, oh, my God, look at all these women. You look at him and you go, really? I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm sorry, but that is a handsome motherfucking man, and I'm not even in the Latin man, okay?
Yeah.
But that motherfucker, I'm sorry. I would toss a pussy at him. Shit. I mean, and on top of that, Pitbull, and I'm going to say this, and people can say what they say about this, but Pitbull is another entertainer who has crossed all genres. Am I saying that right?
Genres, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And generations, because my aunt, who is in her 60s, loves Pitbull.
Really?
She has seen Pitbull in concert because he's at the Essence Music Festival every year.
Okay.
And my aunt loves her some Pitbull. So when I say Pitbull done did some shit, that's a motherfucker who, I'm sorry, I talked to that. Like us and that man, you know, we all know that.
Yeah.
You know, we just all have our preferences, but
absolutely. You told me from day one. I know. I tried.
I mean, I would toss it to Pitbull. I would toss it his way. I'm one of those old school people, and people get mad at me when I say it. I'm just one of those people who believe in really sticking with your culture. And I had something to do with being prejudiced. And people get mad at me when I say that. And I was like, oh, it's okay for a person overseas to say it, but it's wrong for me to say it here in the States. I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. Well, look at this PC country. PG bullshit. And PC.
And like I said, I'm not mad about it. You know, I mean, I've dated different cultures. So by no means am I the one to say that, oh, I never will. No, I've dated other cultures. I just truly believe in sticking with my culture, and I have no problem saying that, but I also make it very clear with me not, you know, I'm not afraid to go outside of the box. I just like chocolate.
And you know damn well I've went outside the box. Outside, inside, all around. My preference. You and me have one thing in common. We do love the chocolate. That's my preference, too, with my women. I love all, but I've had my best, what's the word I'm looking for? My best experiences and good times. You know, I was more accepted by black women. I can't understand why. It seemed that way. I've never had sex with a Spanish woman in my life. Which is hard to believe. I never had. They just see me as...
You know, people laugh at me. You know, people literally laugh at me when they say, I was like, I'm just that person who sticks with my own. I'm not against other races.
No.
But at least when people come to me, they know that I'm open.
Straight up.
But I have been that person, you know, I haven't fallen in love with anybody else. You know, I have always fallen in love with a man from my race. Now, if some man from another race really, really swept me off my motherfucking feet, that would be different. I just haven't had one that has just hit
me
in the nerve.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had just sex with other cultures. You know, I'm not going to knock the sex, but as far as who I love, I'm prejudiced within my own race, and people laugh at me. And I will be the first one to say it. When it comes down to
man,
the darker the berry is truly the sweeter the juice. I do not like light-skinned men. I don't.
I'm going to say maybe
I have no problem saying
yep.
I want to, you know, I don't want you burnt. Let's get it clear. I don't want you looking like fucking toast.
Yo, yeah, you want to look purple.
I want you, you know, I want you to look chocolate, though. I don't want, like, I am a golden brown. And I have no problem being golden brown. But I do not want a golden brown man.
Okay.
I want chocolate. I want milk chocolate, okay?
Oh, milk chocolate. That's it. Okay.
I want milk chocolate.
Okay.
I do not want golden brown. I don't want a lot of goddamn cream. I want milk chocolate.
The chocolate that melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Thank you.
I hear you. Hey, this
and
is
I
a,
tell everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
this is,
I don't
this
want
is
you
perfect.
Popping out the fucking toaster early. I want milk chocolate.
It's like my grilled cheese. I like it dark but not burnt. Yeah, exactly. I don't like it. I don't like it lightly toasted. I understand.
Hey, I have a Hershey bar. I tell everybody that real Hershey bar is what I want.
There you go.
When you open up a Hershey bar, that is real milk chocolate.
I prefer. For some reason, a Hershey Kiss tastes different than a Hershey bar. You notice that? Like
because
a Hershey
it's
Kiss.
Different chocolate.
See?
It's made
that's
of different chocolate.
It. See? I knew it. I like the Hershey Kiss better. Just saying. So, yeah.
So I could tell you how to make a giant Hershey. You want to know how to make a giant Hershey Kiss? A giant Hershey Kiss?
I've seen those.
But you want to know how to make it at home?
Yeah, right.
All you do, you know they sell the chocolate morsels in the baking aisle?
Mm-hmm.
You take the chocolate, you get a funnel.
Okay.
A regular funnel that you use, you get the funnel, the end that would normally be going into the container that you're going to do, you take that and you cover that with aluminum foil.
Okay.
You have it sitting up, but you set it into a glass so that the glass can hold it up, and you get the chocolate and you melt it. You do it in a double boiler or a microwave, and you melt the chocolate and you pour the chocolate in there until it gets to the top, and it, and you set it over, and then you take it and put it in the freezer or the refrigerator and you let it sit. And then when it thaws out, but make sure you put, like, butter or something. Before you put the chocolate in there, you put butter or something in there. But when you do it, and then you tap it lightly, and you tap it around, and you turn it back up, and you've got your Hershey's Kiss. You got a giant kiss that you made yourself.
Nice. Now, when you get
to you want to know where I learned that at? You want to know where I learned that at? You ready for this one?
Good.
I used to be a Tupperware manager, and that's how we used to sell our Tupperware. That's how we get people to buy some of our Tupperware, because we show them how to make Hershey giant kisses.
Wow, nice. Very smart.
That was one of the demos we used to do. But that's how we would get people to buy stuff, because I don't know how they do it now, but when we actually did home parties and we had people's homes and we did cooking demonstrations and stuff, and yes, we actually did go on people's homes and do demonstrations for you folks who listen who say, no, I'm old school. We would go in. I mean, I have shown women how to make homemade spinach dip. I know how to make that.
Okay.
I mean, I know the whole lot of stuff over there.
Nice.
So,
that's
what's
right.
That?
Like
I'm going to make a Hershey's Kiss. I used to be a damn manager. Shit.
Damn, what don't you do? You're like a Renaissance woman. What haven't you done? Shit.
Bitch got to pay the bills, okay?
Hey, I understand.
Bitch
got to
be
paid. I'm saying you could cut, you know, you could do hair, you could fucking Tupperware shit, Hershey Kiss, giant Hershey Kiss. You sell the footballs that you could fuck. By the way, does those go down now in with the sales because football season's over?
No, but you are not. Remember, football season's not over. Football season's
yeah,
not over. Remember,
you know
football season. But remember,
yeah,
football season's actually the longest season of all of the seasons when you think about it. Because remember, football covers college also.
Yeah, I know.
And college also.
And you got the draft. What if you get, you know, turned on? Like, oh, we're going to get this number one pick. We can buy this.
Hey.
Damn.
All I know is that I love the football.
Hey, hey, me too.
I love the football.
There you go. I mean, one of your best sellers. Right? Next to your BSV1, is that like your next bestseller?
Actually, that outstands for Miss Mulan.
Are you serious? That's hilarious.
Motherfucking man.
That's great, but it's hilarious.
You motherfucking man. You motherfucking man.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I'm not only bad. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I know. Damn. I swear. Well, okay, yesterday was different because I was with my lady, so I didn't watch porn. But I almost watched porn almost every night.
Oh, so is that why you, hold up, is that why you couldn't take the time to be with us last night?
No, because
you was with her?
No, I've done shows where I've been at her house. It has nothing to do with that. No, it has nothing to do with that. So that's not the reason why. I was just busy doing other things, too, besides that. That wasn't the only reason. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell Sierra.
Yeah.
Not about to. Got kicked to the curb for a woman. And her name was not Naomi.
Yeah. No, but I've done the show, whether it was sometimes, you know, whether it was all about sex or some more sex, which is a perfect segue where I'm about to say, or if it was this show, I've been there, so I had nothing to do with that. It just so happens I was really busy besides the fact that I was with her last night, too. So, yeah, next week the same shit, so. Yeah, so I had nothing to do with that because I never let that stop me doing my show if I was with her.
I just have to know that, too. I just have to know that, you know. That sounded good saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, starting tomorrow and from here on out, Friday nights from 10 p.m. to midnight, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex will be on Friday. So a little late night in the week type of fling, we're going to start doing.
And I will probably be lit tomorrow night.
Oh, this is even better.
I had a thing for my job. We call it a stress buster. So
okay.
I'm going to the stress buster then.
Mm-hmm.
Going to try my best to make it here, be on air on time.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a move that we all talked about, you know, during the holidays. And I think it's a smart move. I think our listeners will be able to have the time because it's perfect Friday night, late Friday night, you know, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be 7 Pacific Standard Time. You know, I think this would be excellent. It's an excellent move. And we might get on even our normal longtime fans like Greg. I actually brought it up to Greg the other day, and he was happy about the news. So we might actually hear from him tomorrow. We haven't heard from him.
I think we might get Randy back. I think that
back.
Our fans,
yep,
who we lost, we're going to get back tomorrow night. But speaking of that, you guys are getting ready to lose me because I want to go to Belgium.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know y'all
well,
like,
that's
bitch, it's 7:15. You want to go? I got to go to the gym in the morning. I really got to
work
the
damn chat
off now.
Yeah, plus you get up at 2 in the morning and shit. I'll be still awake. No, it's like 3 o'clock. So be prepared, everybody. We'll push that out there a little more. That from here on out, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex will now be on Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be prepared. You don't know what you're going to get now because now it's going to get really, it could get really wild now. You heard, just heard me at least.
Who
are
you telling?
I might be too. Who knows?
It's Friday night. I ain't got nowhere to go Saturday morning. But we're not going to be able to. We're not going to be able to predict tomorrow's show. Let's just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to say what. Unlike where we were tamed on Tuesdays, I'm going to put this out there. I'm not promising tame at all. I mean,
it's going to be fun.
I just can't promise. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to say I'm not going to make no promises. This is definitely the show that you do not want your children listening to from now on.
Yeah, we're putting it out there right now. You have all been warned, ladies and gentlemen. I was willing to hear shit.
You don't want your children listening.
The disclaimer has been put out. We don't hear shit. Oh, by the way, before we go, I want to say this. Since we were talking about documentaries, I started watching this one on Netflix, made itself. It's called, and you should know about this because it's not too far from your area, what took place the last over decade. It's called Making a Murderer. And I highly recommend it.
The Making of a Murderer is also, don't they have a TV series like that also right now?
You got confused with what you call it, How to Commit Murder.
Not with, it's another one with Regina King.
Oh, Regina King. No, I don't know her shit. But what's her name? Viola Davis? Is that her name? Homegirl?
No, that's how to get away with murder. This is not how to get away with murder.
I love her too, and I love that season
of How to Get Away with Murder. But no, there's another one. This one is produced by, I forget who it is, but it has Regina King, and they've been doing a lot of previews. It's like real stories, but they kind of, this season hasn't started yet. I'll find out about it. But it's like the Making of a Murderer or something similar to that.
Yeah, but Making a Murderer is real shit. You know, it's real people. You know, it's what happened to this particular guy named Steve Avery. I'm just saying that, and that's it. Just Google Steve Avery. Not the pitcher from the Braves back in the day. I'm talking about the guy. It's a long story. Trust me, it intrigues the fuck out of you. It's 10. It's a long ass documentary because it's 10 hours of it. It's an hour each episode, but the documentary, you know. And I highly recommend it. You be intrigued. You would have to with football slowly going away. It's perfect. Way to replace football once it's over to watch a full day of that because it's fucking
before Empire comes back.
I highly recommend it. I'm only up to the third episode and I still got 7 more to go, but it's a long ass documentary. That's all it is. It's a long ass 10-hour documentary, but it's separated in episodes. But it's about this guy, the Stephen Avery guy. And, oh, boy. Oof. Wow. And I still haven't seen the rest, so I can imagine what else. And this is real shit, you know, real-life shit. This ain't no actor or actresses. This is all real people in the Wisconsin area. So, not too far. Yes, I'm telling you. I don't want to give away too much, but trust me, everybody's been saying how great it is, and I recommend it also. I finally got a chance to watch some of it when I had the chance, and oh boy. Matter of fact, I'll see if I could watch a couple more tonight. It's great. But and that's just one of my recommendations.
What?
I don't get paid for saying that. I just want to put that out there. I highly recommend
all
it.
What is that? Awesome. Me, you and I and these damn documentaries.
It's awesome. Those documentaries. Oh my god! I'm telling you, you would love. I'm telling you, if you go when you get the chance, when you're not during the weekday or nothing, you gotta check it out. I'm telling you, it's highly recommended. I'm telling you, I wouldn't say this shit if it wasn't good. I'm telling you, you'd be like,
oh, I
hear
you. But if I don't get this damn thing, then I might be y'all might hear me sleep. No, but I'm saying because. You know how I get when I get real tired, then I just be like,
Yeah, I know how you are. And, but I love you anyway.
And I just started yawning already. And I know everybody be like, it's not even, and I'll be like, it's not 8 o'clock. Y'all don't understand. This body is trained. This damn thing got me trained.
Real quickly, you know what you should do? We didn't get a chance last year. Because this, matter of fact, I think it's next month. It's going to be 2 years we've been together. Sound like we're a couple. It's going to be 2 years we've been on the radio together.
Yeah, our anniversary.
Yeah, you know, my first internet, this woman right here, she has an eye for talent. What can I say? She's on me.
Can't find no damn money.
Yeah, I know. And now I know you can find money. Hey, anybody out there doesn't know. The Powerball is now $700 million, the biggest prize in lottery history in America. $700 million. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna be so pissed when there's an old white person.
Fucking hit it at once.
Watch it be all these old white people that want it from Bubba Fuck place. there in the 90s, man.
Let them be a millionaire win it.
Then we have to do something about it. Like that. Yeah, I played. And this is the thing. Okay, and see, real quickly, and then we go. I have to go. I don't be like these other people. Like, you know how you wait online with these people and they buy like hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of these tickets, which to me is stupid. I have the same chance you have by just getting $10 ticket. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you going up there, when I say you, is those people out there that buy all these tickets, well, the more I buy, the more I have a chance to win. No, not necessarily. I'm just saying, all you got to do, you know that saying, all you need is a dollar dream? Hey, that's what it takes sometimes. See, when it's that high, the most I'll do is 10. 10 bucks. Boom. And that's
well,
$2.
I can tell you, I don't even think I did that much because I pay my same numbers all the time. Now, what I can tell you I did is I don't normally buy easy picks. And what I did do was buy easy picks, you know. And
okay.
That's something that I normally don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that you have a better chance with the easy picks. So
gotcha.
I did do an easy pick.
Okay.
But then I'm playing that game that you guys have.
Was
it Cash for Life?
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're
here now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing that also.
Yeah, you win for life. What is it again? How much again? You win for life?
It's like $1,000. It's like $1,000 a day or $1,000
a
week.
Yeah, $1,000 a week.
Yeah, something like that.
Some shit. Oh, no. Isn't it a day? Or something? No, I think it's $1,000 a day.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's a day. It's $25,000 a year.
Think about that.
Or $1,000 a day. They've got like two different types of winners.
That's all I ask.
I could do $1,000 a day. I would
not
complain, okay?
Yeah,
That's 365 G's a year for life.
Think about that.
Just cut me a check once a year. Cut me a check once a year, okay?
Nah, I'm saying I wouldn't mind the $700 million. I'm not saying I would just not, you know, I would just sniff that, like, look my nose up in the air. I wouldn't take that. But I'm just saying, give me $1,000 a day. Shoot, I'd sign for that.
Give me $1,000 a day. I'm telling you, first of all, I could do a lot of $1,000 a day. First of all, the people said they would go, no, what I would do is I would pay off my house. I ain't gonna lie. I would pay off my house.
Smart.
And I
Smart
think
move.
I would probably go buy me some land. I would stay in the area. I like the area that I live in, but we do still have a lot of land here. I think I would go buy land and have me another house built the way I actually want it. But in the meantime, I would get this one where it would be sellable. So this house would be like the dream house for somebody.
Gotcha.
Because I'm already having like all this stuff put in it. But I would either, or I might keep it. You know, we all know I'm a little freak. So I might keep it as my play house.
Yeah. And we're not talking about
people. And not let people know. I mean, not trying to be funny, but I mean, I could keep this as my play house, and then that way people really wouldn't know where I lived at. And I could come and stay at this house.
Yeah, your playhouse retreat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of having a fun room, the whole house is a fun
room. Yeah.
Hey. And then you get people like people that you know that are like you. You can rent it out. Like, hey, you want to have a good time?
But I would, you know what? Because I do like my neighbors, I would not want it to be.
True.
But you know, I would do it strictly to couples, and the condition would be you can't throw a party here.
Yeah,
because this
you
is
try.
Still my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have to be. This is. In my home, you know, and I respect my neighbors, so.
Absolutely.
You know, just one of those things.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll talk more about this.
But we need to go.
Yeah, trust me, I see the writing on the wall. We will talk more about this, especially the sex part, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all about sex, and more sex. Did I say tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, I was just making sure. I said, well, I could just want to say tomorrow. Oh, thanks. Well, anyway. Tomorrow night is the debut of It's All About Sex, It's More Sex, moving to Fridays, 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be great, 10 to midnight, every Friday. So that will be the show that will end our these After Dark Radio Week. And trust me, more is to come. Yes, we're going to really try
and
to make
gonna
it.
Do our special, but we're going to do our special edition on the 19th of December. I mean, 19th of January, remember?
Yes.
We're going to go back
Ooh.
To our old time on the 19th of January.
Nice.
Or
right.
we're going to manipulate the time a little bit on that day. But we're going to be on that day because we're going to debut from Vegas. And maybe we'll talk about that later. Everybody have a great evening because we'll just be talking all night. But have a great evening. Come back tomorrow night. It's all about sex, sex, and more sex.
Yes. Can't wait.
And we will talk to you. And it's like, we'll talk to you tomorrow. So have a great evening, everyone. And we will talk to you tomorrow night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Glad to be back. 2016. Let's kick ass. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Bye, everybody. Night, night.